I wanted to start today by just asking you, have you ever had a song dedicated to you? Ever done that? Maybe have you ever dedicated a song? When I was in third grade, my best buddy up the street, Wesley Barton, there was this girl in school named Naomi who had this huge crush on Wesley, and every once in a while she'd call him, and she didn't really quite know what to say, so she put this song. I guess she had like a little 45 record. This really dates me, but she put this song on by the Archies, and the song was, "Who's your baby? Who's the one you love? You're the only one for me." Now, of course, I thought this was hilarious, but Wesley wasn't so sure, especially when the He-Man Women Haters Club in the neighborhood would start singing it to him. We were mean little rascals, but hey, I mean, it was the law of the jungle in elementary school, right? Another song dedication comes to mind some years later when I was in high school and I had hair and the world was my oyster. It would be my turn. And there was a girl who I maybe kind of liked, but then decided, I wasn't so sure. And she dedicated a song to me, "You're So Vain" by Carly Simon. Ouch. But every once in a while, you may hear a song dedicated, and people usually do it for someone they love, right? But you think about it, why? Because it's in our nature to dedicate stuff, right? We dedicate buildings, we dedicate poinsettias at peace, we've got an insert about that. A lot of churches dedicate stuff. They have, you know, plaques that you walk around the church, you see all this stuff that's been dedicated. One of the reasons we do this is it's a way of saying you matter. You really matter to me. And every once in a while, you still hear a song dedicated. And people usually, it's usually for some moment in life. Every once in a while, you hear those songs, you realize they're trying to send a message. There's something like that in Scripture. The first gifts that were given at Christmas were also given to honor someone. The wise men, the magi, came with their gifts for Jesus, not when he was in the manger, but a little later. Matthew tells us about it. They went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And of course, those were gifts to honor a king, right? Gold, a precious metal, frankincense, a costly incense, myrrh and oil for anointing, and kings were anointed. That's where we get the word Christ from. It means anointed. So the wise men did it. They sought Jesus out. They gave gifts to him because he mattered to them. They spared no expense. God led them there. They knew it. And they had to do something. And that brings us to our scripture this morning. It's just one verse about giving ourselves to God. But to put it in context, I'd like to read the first 16 verses before it. And you'll see why when we get into it. But here we go in the third chapter of Colossians, starting with verse 1. "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Now, the reason why I wanted to go through all of that is to show you what a comprehensive list this is. And the reason why that's important is that what Jesus has done changes everything. Everything about the way we live. And that brings us to our verse for today. And here it is. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, last week we looked at 1 John, the 5th chapter, and how to pray in a way that we are asking according to what God would want us to ask for, right? Asking according to God's will. We looked at how much that matters in terms of answers to prayer, and how we see beautiful answers to prayer as we begin to pray in that way. And so, as part of that, we ended up in that place of saying, God, what should I ask for Christmas? And I want to follow up on that this week. Today we're going to take that question one step further. Instead of, God, what should I ask for Christmas? This morning, I'd like to encourage you to ask, God, what would you like me to give you for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas this year? You know, you and I don't have to pray that prayer long before an answer comes. And I kind of hate to do it, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the words of Mariah Carey here, and I'm going to give them a whole new application. The answer that comes is, all I want for Christmas is you. God wants us to give ourselves to him. And he is so worth it. When Jesus talked about this, he talked about a man who did everything that he could to buy this pearl. He found this pearl. pearl that was beyond estimation. It was worth that much. And the man sells everything that he can to get it. And this is the way an Argentine pastor, Juan Carlos Ortiz, actually his son lived next door to me in college, neat guy, but Juan Carlos Ortiz takes this story and he puts it in a modern setting. And he writes, so when someone finds Jesus, it costs them everything. Jesus has joy, happiness, peace, healing, security, eternity. We marvel at such a pearl and we say, I want this pearl. How much does it cost? And the seller says, it's too dear, it's too costly. But how much? Well, it's very expensive. Well, do you think I could buy it? Well, it costs everything you have. No more, no less. So anybody can buy it, I'll buy it. What do you have? Well, let's write it down. I have 10,000 in the bank. Good, 10,000. What else? Well, I have nothing more. That's all I have. Have you nothing more? Well, I have some dollars here in my pocket. How many? I'll see. I have 30, 40, 50, 80, 100, 120. $120, that's fine. What else do you have? I have nothing else. That's all. Where do you live? I live in my house. The house too. You mean I must live in the garage? Have you a garage too? What else? Do you mean I must live in my car then? Have you a car? I have two. Both. Both become mine. Both cars. What else? Well, you have my house, the garage, the cars, the money, everything. What else? Are you alone in the world? No. I have a wife, two kids. Your wife and kids, too. Two? Yes. Everything. Everything you have. What else? Well, I have nothing else. I'm left all alone now. Oh, you too. You too. Everything becomes mine. Wife, children, house, money, cars, everything. And you too. Now, you can use all those things here, but don't forget, they're mine. As you are. When I need any of those things you're using, you must give them to me because I am now the owner. You know, it's an interesting point, isn't it, when we realize that everything that we have really comes from God? And because it is a gift from Him, we have been blessed. And then it's a step then from there to realize that we ourselves He made us. And in making us has the greatest claim upon us. And there's nothing we could give God in one sense because it all comes from Him. But what He wants most of all is us. And this is what some theologians like Dietrich Bonhoeffer called the cost of discipleship. God's grace to us in Jesus is free. He's done everything for us. We cannot save ourselves, and we recognize that we're lost in our own sinfulness. But He comes to us and says, I love you, and I made you. And I want a relationship with you. So come to me. Just come to me. But in doing that, we have to come to him because he's God on his terms. And what that calls us to do is in one sense to give up our rights. You know, those rights that we've been claiming since we were about 2 years old. Me, 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 my, my, my. But the longer we walk with him, the more we discover that we want to give them up. Because that's real freedom. And the more we let go of our grip on stuff, the more he gives us of himself. The longer we walk with him, the more he reveals to us those areas of our lives where we want to loosen our grasp. And he will help us with that. And bring us to the point where that's actually something we want to do. And that's why his word tells us, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's another way of saying, just give yourself. Just give yourself to me. But you know, the challenge is that when we talk about living for Jesus, it's so broad, it's so general, it can just sound so insincere, like something we if you think about it honestly, we never really can do. We're going to mess it up. But these verses show us something that we can't miss. And that is that what God is saying isn't this broad, general thing. It's in the moment. It's whatever. Yeah, that's general, okay. But whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name. It's pointing us into the specifics of how we live in the moment. Think about your moments as you go through the day. How they begin, how your day starts. Think about those places where you may struggle doing what you do for him. But have you noticed, as you begin to give things to God, as you say, Lord, I'm going to do this for you, even if I mess it up, somehow it's still better. You know, when we just make the simple, sincere effort, it's almost like a child giving a dandelion bouquet. You know, when we give something, we also get something, right? Whatever you do, think about just doing it for Jesus. As you think about, well, what could I possibly give God? Think about just the smallest action out of love for him. Try to give him the moment and ask him to help you in that. Just help you in the moment. It's his birthday, right? And he deserves the presents. And we will be happiest and most deeply satisfied as we do. And it takes some focus, but the more we give ourselves to him out of love, the more he'll draw near to us And Jesus is the ultimate self-giver. From Christmas to the cross, he waits to give us more. More peace. More joy. More strength in those places where we really struggle. You know, yeah, we're going to mess this up. Scripture says we have this treasure in jars of clay. But as we keep coming back and say, oh Lord, help me, I wanted to live for you. Right now, today, at work, in my car, as I'm driving. Yes, the pastor needs to pray this prayer. We've got all these areas, right? But we can grow in this, can't we? And as we do, he will meet us there. It comes down to that place of, yes, Lord. Yes. I'm yours. I'm yours. You know, to illustrate this, I thought about bringing a bow and sort of putting it on my head, but I couldn't get it to stick. And there are certain visuals you don't want. But we do have some bows this morning, and they are for sticking to it as a reminder. And you'll see as you exit the sanctuary, we've got several just small silver bows, and I want to encourage you to take one with you. And either carry it in your pocket as a reminder, or put it on the dashboard of your car. That's what I'm going to do, I think. But wherever it is, wherever you need that reminder to live for Jesus, again, what do you want for Christmas? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all, the smallest stuff. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We're going to go ahead and take a moment as we wrap up to just give ourselves to God. Take a moment. Paige, Jerick, would you guys come up? And if you could just begin playing, and then we'll eventually go into singing. But where do you struggle with this? Where are you growing here? Where have you been doing this and you've said, yeah, I want to keep doing this? That's the beautiful thing about Jesus. The more we give ourselves to him, the more we discover he is so worth it. So would you do that right now as you think about Christmas, as you think about life? Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. If you've never given yourself to him, remember again that Jesus is the ultimate self-giver. He gave himself for us on the cross so that we could be free, free from our sins, lifted out of our mess into hope. And our part is to be honest with him and say, yes, yes, Lord, I need that. And I believe that's why you came. I receive that. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Come and forgive me. And I want a new life. I want to live with you. I want to live for you. He'll meet you there. Let's join together. Sing this as a prayer.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart.